are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Now, our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to pursue a successful career in show business. Now, our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone sooner or later in a profession that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to LA Talk Radio website, latalkradio.com. You click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1, scroll down and look for the graphic of our show and click the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of the past guests. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes and also on Stitcher. Stitcher is hot and it's got some fantastic shows, all different types of shows. So check it out. I just learned about it, but apparently we've been on there for years. Now, you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box if you want to find out about our future guests. Now, if you want to find out their bios and also details and a lot more information, then you have to go to our official website, which is Question Reality. Oh, what the hell is it? Okay, questionrealityshow.com. I got like three different URLs. I can't even focus on it. Okay, questionrealityradioshow.com. Now, as we know, every week our guests are amazing and fantastic, and that means that you are in for a treat today. We have a top, fantastic, cute as a button, mind you, casting director here today, Valerie McCaffrey. And I have been flooded with emails, and we're going to ask your email questions today, but we're going to get to that in the latter part of the show. We are going to talk first about who Valerie is. Now, I'm just going to go briefly into her bio because I think it would fill a book. So we just can't do it. We don't have time. All right. So now, from 85 to 94, Valerie was casting executive at Universal Studios and cast one of my favorite actors, James Cromwell, in a family film favorite called Babe. Who doesn't love Babe? Do we not love that movie? And it caused James to earn an Oscar nomination. And she also cast films such as Hard Target. Oh, now, don't we remember Hard Target? Lord have mercy. When Jean-Claude Van Damme did those leg splits. Oh, that was just too much. That was over. Okay, but I digress. Okay, so that's John Woo's first American film. Darkman, Sam Raimi's first studio film, among scores of others. Then she moved on from 1994 to 2000. She held the position of vice president of feature film casting for New Line Film Line Films. Fine Line Films. Oh my God, say that three times. Fine Line Films, where she cast Edward Norton and Edward Furlong in New Line Cinema's American History X, one of my favorite movies. I love that. I think that was Edward Furlong's best part. Edward Norton received an Oscar nomination for Best Actor, and oh, here we go. Eddie Furlong's performance was heralded as the best of his career. And recently she performed, a film called Lost and Found in Armenia with Jamie Kennedy. Oh, I love him. He's so funny. Oh God, I met him at Cedar Sinai with Jennifer Love Hewitt. I completely remember, Albert, we met Jamie Kennedy. He's really funny. And Angela, is it Sarah Fien?
Sarafian.
Love it. She also completed an award-winning cancer documentary called Tumor, It's in the System, in which she co-directed and co-produced. She's produced an award-winning film directed entitled Neo Ned, starring Jeremy Renner and Gabrielle Union. Oh, I love Gabrielle Union. Valerie also cast the critically acclaimed film Hard Candy, which put Ellen Page in her first American film. And she's cast over 80 films and has overseen several hundred in her studio career. The woman does not sleep. She gets 30 minutes. She's up pumping herself with caffeine, probably, and she's back at it again. She's a mega monster casting agent, director. She continues to cast scores of films, and she's also producing many films like Pure Life, which stars Vera. Oh, I cannot say this last name. Farmiga.
You're very good.
Woo! All right. And Elle Fanning. Oh, my God. She's so cute. Not as cute as Dakota was, in my opinion, when she's little, but she's pretty damn cute, which is in the process of shooting in Los Angeles. And she's also had a film called Tad about Abraham Lincoln's youngest son, mm-hmm. who had a learning disability. That is fascinating. I did not hear that. I've never even heard that in the history books. I need to know about that. We're going to talk about that. Okay. Now, a lot of people have emailed because they are fascinated and want to be a casting director like Valerie McCaffrey. And so let's start with the question. Now, I know that persistence is definitely a key to success in this business, and not only for actors, but in your own words, what are the qualities of a good casting director? Because not everybody can be, as you were saying earlier, they do have to have certain characteristics. What are they?
Being a casting director, I think it becomes imperative that you have some sort of theater experience, and that you love actors and that you love going to see theater and watching movies and also, you know, television. There are, you know, two different types of casting directors, ones that focus on television and the other ones focus in on movies. And of course, there's the other casting directors that focus on theater, but they're usually based out of New York. The qualities, I mean, you have to be able to work long hours. You have to be able to work with others, but yet have a vision of what you see. And to be able to have, also, there's a certain amount of instinctual things that you're born with, and I can't, you know, you can't teach someone mm-hmm. that. But I
like
think,
with acting, a natural
exactly.
talent.
I mean, you know, it's the exposure to the art and also being, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, Lady Gaga, you know, you know, I was born this way, but I think I was. So because at 5 years old, I knew I wanted to work in the movie industry. At
really?
5 years old, I knew. And you know, my dad met the producer's father of 7 Days in May. And my sister was older than I was, and she was allowed to go on the set with all these huge mega stars at the time. And I was so upset because they wouldn't let me on the set because they were fearing that I was too little and I would,
get hurt.
Trip over the wires and whatever.
Yeah.
And then I swore that no one would ever not let me get on a set again. So I think I accomplished that.
Woo! Yes, you did. My God. Now, casting directors have to think about the producer's needs. And that's the question I was telling you earlier, I wanted to ask you. They don't want to see the same people over and over again. Producers don't like it. They like to see lots of different people. They will move on to other, this is what I hear, you can correct me mm-hmm. if I'm wrong, but casting directors have told me that they will actually move on, producers will move on to other casting directors if they keep bringing them the same people. They want to see fresh faces constantly. So you, as you were saying earlier, you know when certain actors would be great for a part, great for a role, but what if you brought them in a couple times, but you know they're going to rock this part, but the producer's like, I want fresh people, I want fresh faces. How do you find balance that is needed to help all concerned with casting this project?
Well, I think when you're talking about casting directors saying that they'll move on to another casting director mm-hmm. because they don't want to see the same faces over and over again. That really has to do with television.
Mm.
So because, you know, you're working on episodic and you're bringing in, you know, you have the same producer on the same show. And so you're bringing in, you know, the actors. And so that's where it would apply. However, in feature film casting, each project is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's doesn't, like, for instance, the show Shameless has the same cast, the same, and, you know, then they'll have the guest stars and whatever. But in a feature film, you have, you know, different characters and a different storyline. So therefore, all the actors I bring in to the producers are basically fresh.
Mm.
You know, and maybe the question becomes, what if the actor comes in and they are not doing what they normally do for me in a room?
Mm-hmm.
And then that is the job of the casting director to be able to guide that casting session so that the actor feels good about his audition at the end of the day when he or she walks out of the room. And then also you're feeling good because you know that this actor is doing its full potential. So there's little tricks that I do in the room so that it doesn't embarrass anybody. And that's something that you'll have to read my book one day.
I knew there was a book telling us how.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the book called, by the way?
I don't know. I haven't written it yet. But I'm
sure
I'll get
it. You have to now because I'm going, well, what are the tricks? Because if you're a casting director, you got to know when you can't be intrusive with the, you know, all the people in the room. So how do you do it? Well, is it because you've built up such a reputation that they give you the leeway to do it?
I think you just nailed it on the head. You're so smart.
I is.
You is.
Now, casting director, what three characteristic traits do you feel are mandatory if you want to be a casting director? I know you got to be hard-nosed so much. I mean, you got to be assertive, I would imagine. What else?
Yes, be decisive, be able to be critical, but yet positive,
mm-hmm.
To be able to work long, hard hours, and to be able to understand that this is an art, like an actor's job is an art,
mm-hmm.
and a craft, and casting is a craft as well. I worked many hours and long years before I considered myself a casting director, even though I was casting.
Mm-hmm.
It is long, hard work to understand acting. You have to understand acting,
yeah,
to be a good casting director.
Yeah. I would even recommend that you take some classes. What's wrong with that?
And I have, actually. I directed a film called Wish You Were Dead in 1999 when I was still an executive at New Line. And mm-hmm. I took a class in acting, you know, and it was interesting because I was trying to be low-key about everything, you know, because... but it's interesting. I love it so much, and I love actors so much and I love the craft, and I love being moved in a room. And, you know, James Cromwell made me cry even when he came in and read for The Babe,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, Babe Ruth story. I've cast so many movies that I have duplicate names for different movies, The Babe and Babe, Dark Man, Dark City, you know, and there is nothing like that feeling when actors move you in the room or
right.
bring you to tears. I want to experience that every day of my life, but, you know, it doesn't happen. So when you do get that, it's just so rewarding to me.
Yeah. And it's got to be rewarding because you're the one that knew that was the person that was right for the part.
That's
even
correct.
Though there's so many people you must audition for roles. My God, okay. So what, a lot of people ask me this, what type of education, or do you need some sort of education to become a successful casting director?
Well, I would like
you
to,
recommend that, yeah.
I would like to believe that you should go to college,
mm-hmm.
and I would like to believe that you should study theater,
mm-hmm.
And that maybe you should participate in theater yourself as mm-hmm. well. You know, there's different speech classes you can take. Forensics, for instance, if you know, is a good way to do and participate in dramatic interpretations and go on and really immerse yourself in the craft. And then you can decide, you know, whether it's something, you know, sometimes you may want to be an actor, you know, and then you can make that decision what you want to do. But at least you've trained yourself to be able to recognize good acting as opposed to maybe not sufficient acting.
You brought up a point. A lot of people, when they come to a new city like LA and New York, they may come out here to pursue acting. They may think that's what they want to do. But they end up in other careers. They end up as directors, producers, and casting directors. So there's the whole world of casting that is open to you if you're an actor and you come out here. You discover that you might like the casting better. Yes. How many times have you run into people that have taken that path? They thought they wanted to be an actor, and then they...
Oh, my gosh.
I see it all the time.
I think a lot of the casting directors wanted to be actors. And by the way, if you're wondering, well, how do I begin? Let's say I go to school, and I get an education. I immerse myself in theater. I watch movies. I go to movies. Usually what will happen is a casting office will have you come in and become an intern. Mm-hmm. This is an unpaid position, by the way.
Yes.
So you have to have some thick skin and a night job or something like that to afford it.
Yes.
But at least after, you know, maybe 6 months, they'll put you on and this is very good to do it on television probably. Mm. They'll make you, you know, put you on salary if they like you. So
what's the secret because they come and go. They're like on a carousel, the interns and the production assistants. What's the secret to keeping a job as an intern? I know that sounds crazy because you're not getting paid, but it is a job.
Yes.
You got to take it seriously. So what do you think the secret is? First of all, you got to be patient because they will run you ragged, but that's what you need to do. They will run your ass off, but you have got to be patient. What else do you think you need to expect if you get a job as a cast
member? I think like in any job, when you're starting out, you have to know not to say no. Mm-hmm. If someone asks you to go look for a cat in the middle of Ventura Boulevard, you're going to do it. They want to know that you're going to go the full length to get what because you love it. You know, it's got to be a passion because you work long, hard hours. Many times you're not recognized for the work that you do. It was so funny. I was looking at the Hollywood Reporter or the Variety, and somebody got recognized for ensemble casting, and they had the billing block there, okay, but they didn't have casting by in the billing block. And I just thought that was so ironic because you're saying it's ensemble, this great ensemble cast, mm-hmm. and you're not giving the credit to the casting director.
Oh, my God.
So I just kind of laughed it off and, you know.
When you start out and you mm-hmm. want to be a casting director, how do you get jobs? Because if you don't have experience, how do you... You go up to a director and producer and you say, well, I want to cast your project. Well, you don't have any experience. Say you didn't do the casting assistant thing. Say you just say, I know I can do it. By God, just give me a chance.
I would hook into the USC, Chapman, CalArts, anyone that's doing student films and start working that way. Ended up casting a USC student film, and the guy that was the producer on it ended up becoming an executive for the Weinsteins. So.
See, you never know. And today's casting assistants are the moguls of the business in the future, right? So be nice to those assistants.
Yes.
My God. Now, we also, I apologize, I was just so excited in the beginning. I forgot to introduce my co-host today, Christina DeRosa, the hot, sexy, sizzling vixen around town. I just wanted to congratulate you. You just booked a DirecTV commercial. Oh, my God. Every time you turn around, Christina DeRosa is on the damn television. I mean, she just books them right and left. She's just a hot commodity. But congratulations
Thank
for the
you.
DirecTV.
Thank
the last thing I saw you, you were on the Budweiser thing. You were the wife in the Budweiser for the troops that came home.
I was.
And so she really, oh, this girl works it. Let me tell you, a lot of people come out here and they want to be an actor, but then they get complacent and they get lazy and then they get into romances. Next thing you know, they're either pregnant or on the Greyhound bus back to Ohio. But this girl came out here and she rocks it and rolls it and she takes every opportunity. She's one of the hardest working actresses, and I tell you, I've run across all of them, and she's constantly, which is what you have to do, you constantly have to take classes and you have to get out there and network, and you have to brand yourself. And a lot of people, actors, don't understand about branding. They want to be the principal lead actress when they're actually the girl next door, or they're, you know, that's what I want to talk to you about. How does one find their brand? Because a lot of times I find, Christina Rosa, I know you see this too, but a lot of times actors want to play parts just like singers on American Idol. You know, you watch American Idol and they want to be lead singers and they can't sing a note. But how is, and they shouldn't be singing, or you know what? They're singing rock and they should be singing country. You know what I mean? So how, as an actor, what do you recommend? How do they find their brand? Because it starts with headshots.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you
the
have to have...
The calling card.
Yeah, it's the calling card. And a lot of people don't know what their brand is. They want to be this. They want to play this character, but they're actually another character.
So I would imagine that you would play comedy very well.
Oh, you know it. I still this. You know what? I used to go out and audition my ass off. I'm a specialty actor. So whenever they need hot, sexy, fluffy women, I get the call. And I used to be out on the circuit with, what's her name? Oh, Lord, Conchita Farrah. Thank you. Uh-huh. And Cleo King, who's one of my friends now, who's working on, what is that? She's playing the grandmother on, she was on, Boston Public. I'm like the worst trying to remember what the hell I did in my life. Too many wild turkeys. Boston Public, she was the lady, the African-American lady who said, smell this shoe. This is the smell of injustice. Do you remember watching Boston Public way back?
Yeah,
that was
barely.
One of my favorite days.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's on the show now. So I used to run the circuit with her and Conchita Farrah. You know, these, they would book those damn parts. We were so happy when she got 2.5 men because we're like, damn, that's good. Now we'll have a shot because she booked everything, right? She was at every audition.
Yeah, that's no good.
But at least I knew when I went to the auditions that I was going to see the same type of people because I know where I need to be. I know what my stomping ground is.
Well, you just said it. You know where you need to be. And you know what comes easy to you.
Right.
You should always do what comes easy to you first.
Oh, that's so true.
And then, you know, listen, if you're a comedian and then all of a sudden you decide, you know, I'm famous being a comedian and I want to do dramatic roles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great, but some audiences will never buy you in a dramatic role.
Mm-hmm. It's a very hard thing to do. A few actors have been successful. Jim Carrey. I don't care what you say. I love me some Jim Carrey, and I think he rocked it in that long-titled movie that he did with the sunshine word in it. I can't remember what it was. It was a couple years ago. I thought he did a great job. They reamed him over the coals for it. I'm like, no.
I think when someone that really does that well is Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I think because he gives... What Jim Carrey, although he gives it humanity, he's not as vulnerable as Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And with Robin Williams,
you
tend to go with him. You tend to, you know, ride that wave with him. And Jim has a little bit of that where he just won't.
He's
she went 1,000%.
Yeah. I remember, what was that movie?
Liar.
When they did that part where they called, I don't know if this was improv or not, but they called him an overactor and he started laughing.
Yeah.
Remember? I thought, that's too good for them to have scripted that in. I think that was improv,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
So it's kind of hard to find your brand, but until you do, you're going to have difficulty because you're going to go in. Like, my agent tries to send me out for drama. I can't do drama. I can't cry. I mean, you would have to, I don't know what you'd have to do, but I cannot cry on command. But at least I'm willing to admit it. Some actors are like, I can cry, you know, I can laugh. They want to do everything. They can't, but they think they can. But I think that the sooner that you admit what you can and can't do, you're on the right track.
Yes, and I think you have to commit to it. You know, you have to say, this is, you know, how do you see yourself?
Yeah.
You know, how do you really see yourself, and how do you see yourself achieving, you know, your goals?
Mm-hmm.
And your goals are to, you know, to get that job.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you see yourself doing that? And that's very important, that you're very clear on, and listening to people, and, you know, understanding that you're, you know, if you go out on 10 callbacks and six are comedy roles, mm-hmm. and you get called back for three of the comedy roles, you can pretty much assume that that's more your track,
mm-hmm.
you know?
That's true. And don't, now, God, I'm really going to get it for this, but I just don't care because I tell it like it is. Come out here and don't eliminate, Valerie, I'm going to block you, so I don't know what you're going to say with this one. Don't eliminate the possibility of reality television. Because there have been people cast from reality television that have made it to be principals on shows. The guy on Grimm, he was on the OC, The Hills.
Yes.
He was on a reality television show. Now he's the star of Grimm.
I did not know that.
Now, granted, he is looking like $1 million, and you can bounce a quarter off his ass. But the point is that he did not have acting experience, and he was on a reality television show. And so I know I don't want to promote it, but I'm saying it's a possibility if you have a natural ability, I think, and it's a way to get on the set, and you can take acting classes. I think that it's just a way. It's a way. And
you have to
honor that.
Well, reality is a reality.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always going to be out there.
Yeah.
You know,
it's out of the box, isn't it, Valerie?
Yes, it is. It's out of the box. And the thing is that what's interesting now is that they're casting actors to be in reality shows.
Yes.
When before they really were going more for, you know, real people.
Right.
But, you know, that's just a lot harder to find. Sorry, but it is.
How the hell are you going to find Honey Boo Boo? You can't find Honey Boo Boo, though. No, that is all natural right there. And you wonder.
Some, yeah.
You wonder.
Some. I mean, because I've done a little bit of that in casting. So, but and what happened is,
where would you find Honey Boo Boo and her mother? You couldn't
Honey
find
Boo Boo.
Those.
But no, Honey Boo Boo, but Kim Kardashian's around. But it, you know, listen, Kim, I get my hats off to you, actually, because there's no one that can really do reality better than her.
See, I have a fantasy. I want to be a Kardashian more than anything. I swear people just say, why? I think they have the best family. I don't know what it is, but they just seem so loving and close. And I don't care what they say about Kris Jenner. She keeps that family together. She's so smart. And she is the reason that that family is successful. I mean, Robert Kardashian got him started, but he didn't really do anything, God rest his soul. It was Kris Jenner who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I wish I was a Kardashian. I just get
so depressed.
Well,
you have to start with Robert, who allowed them the lifestyle to be a Kardashian.
That's true. God bless him.
Yeah, so
he was a good father, and so is Kris Jenner, and they have a very tight-knit family.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you say about my Kardashians, I love them. I will promote Kim. Was it Courtney and Kim hitting Miami? You know I got that T-vote already. I'm ready for it. So, my darling, do you have any questions about the casting director
Absolutely.
That you want to ask? Or why don't you ask?
Coming from an actor perspective, I'm sure there's plenty of actors out there that want to know about how to get to know you, especially when they don't know you. So what is the best way to get to know Valerie?
Send lots of chocolates.
Ooh, I hear you, girl.
You know. wine's good, too.
No, where do we send it? Do you have a website? Because I actually don't. I only found you on IMDb. Do you have a website?
I don't. I don't have a website because I don't really need one. But
what do you need? The sticks? The two sticks?
You know what you can do is if you want to be in contact with me, you can send me your picture and resume and I can give you the address. Or if you have a reel that you want me to take a look at, you can send it to mccaffreytalent@gmail.com. Mm.
Excellent. Well, that's awesome.
Speaking, she just brought up another point.
Email.
No, I want to ask her about, because I have, Amy Jo Berman and I talked about this on the last show. I say, personally, and Amy Jo said no, but Amy Jo and I still dispute this. I say that mail-outs are still something that you should keep doing. She's a big social media person, and I am too. I'm like, oh, you absolutely have to say. But she feels it's a waste of time, as do many other casting directors, and they say, no, don't bother with the mail-outs. I personally say it's just another way, because not all casting directors have a website, and they're not always doing the media, Twitter, Facebook thing. Mail-outs. Do you still open those damn manila envelopes, or do they go in the circular file?
Well, you know, I do, actually, and I do like them because every once in a while someone will get lucky and they'll send me over their picture and resume and I just might happen to be casting something and I'll call them in.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened to me in the past. Mail-outs are less and less, you know, with email. But I think there isn't a casting director alive that doesn't like a hard copy picture.
Yeah. I think so.
You know, and if that's, listen, how can it hurt?
That's what I said, Amy Jo. All right, I'll call you and we'll talk about it. Now, also, I believe in still, I still rock the black and white headshot. Don't say anything.
Oh, Priscilla,
but I paid a lot of damn money for 500 of those bastards, and they are going to be mailed out until they're all gone.
But
and
you have
I still
those
get
pretty
called
eyes.
In. I do.
Yeah.
So I still get called in. So anybody who has the black and white headshot, I say, yes, get a color, but still send out those black and white ones because I get called in for stuff all the time. But what I was going to say was I highly recommend that you send out posters to invite the casting director to theater productions you're in, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I create one that said, big actor looking for small parts. You gotta think of something catchy. Tell us about it.
I think it's clever. And I think that when you create something clever, then you must be a clever actor. So I remember, one time we were having a casting session, Nancy Neer and I, because I used to work for Nancy over at Universal. And this actor, we were in the middle of just crazy casting, and we were so hungry. And this actor came in with the best Italian pizza on the planet. We open up the flap, and there's his picture and resume, and we're like, we're calling this guy in. You know what I mean? He just scored. You know, we were hungry. He he knew, I have no idea, but... The guy got an audition.
Yeah.
So there.
You gotta take that extra little step, you know. And a lot of actors say, well, I don't wanna do that because that's like sucking brown nosing. I don't know what I was gonna say. Brown nosing, and it makes me feel desperate. And I can see that because I understand where that might come across, but what are your feelings on it? I mean, if you're hungry,
you have to eat that pizza,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and cookies and all the other stuff. I mean, why should you pay for it when the actors are going to send it?
You
That's
know,
what I'm saying.
I mean, again, you know, sometimes it's nice to be appreciated, I don't ever, James Cromwell sent me a big bouquet of flowers when, you know, he got nominated for, you know, an Academy Award. And that's always nice to be appreciated. Again, it's up to the casting directors.
Remember you.
Yeah.
They'll remember you when you send them stuff. So.
Well, I think the question is, what is a good actor-casting director relationship versus what is a not-so-good one, in your opinion?
Yeah, because you don't want to look like you're brown-nosing, but then you want to get your little toe in there so they'll remember you.
But I think that when you, if you come in an audition and you send a thank you note, which I think is really smart.
Absolutely.
Or if you send like, hey, I really, you know, I'm new in town. It was my first audition. Here's like a little thing of cookies, you know, or whatever. You know, there's nothing, no ill, you know, it's not an ill, you know, you're not feeling bad yeah. about that as a casting director. You're thinking, wow, you know, this guy really appreciates it.
I would
you
think
know?
So. Bring the shit to my office. I will bring you back if I was a casting director.
you know, yeah, as long as, I mean, you know, there's also this question, is there poison in there? Yeah.
Ah, that is
but,
true.
But so, you know.
So make sure it's sealed. Yeah. Don't be bringing them baked goods. Most likely they're not going to try it unless it's weed and who knows.
And that, okay. You're also a talent manager as well, as a producer.
Yes, that's true. Actually, we, Kim Matuka and I just formed a new company called Schuler McCaffrey Matuka Entertainment, and we are combining branding, management, literary, and casting under one roof.
Wow. So you, as a casting director, a producer, a manager, you're working under a ton of pressure. How do you manage to wear all these hats? Do you have little elves helping you?
Yeah, I have a lot of elves.
She has casting assistants and production assistants to take care of all these duties, right? And
yeah.
then she moves them on up.
Yeah, and you know, we...
She's got people baking for her. She's got it covered. Her food's covered. Her laundry's
you
covered.
Know, I lay back. The grapes are being fed to me. You know,
yeah.
it's good. Life yeah. is good.
Woo-hoo.
By the hottie. Now, I want to get all the questions in because believe it or not, we're just having so much fun. I got 20 minutes and these actors will kill me if I don't get these questions. But so I'm going to breeze by this. We're moving on to the actor career questions now. And let's talk about the audition process. Now, I don't know about you, but I have held auditions for little things where some people, they show up and they look like their asses were shot out of a cannon. And they are just really wrong. And it falls into the non-professional level because they're not taking their job seriously and they're coming showing up unprofessional. Now, a couple of actors have said, what the hell should I worry about what I'm wearing because I'm there to act and they'll give me the clothes. So keep that in mind. Now, not only do these people look a hot mess, but sometimes they don't even know how they got there because their agents are sending them there. Oh, there's an audition. Be here, blah, blah, blah. And they don't tell them. So think about that. So when you audition actors, what are some of the qualities that you definitely want to see and don't want to see? Let us know what your pet peeves are and basically what makes a winning audition for you.
Well, preparation is everything. Being able to read the script and do research. If it's a biopic or something like that, you know, you want to be able to do research about the actual character. So you have something to say in the room when you're talking to the producer and director. You know, when I did Babe, and, you know, it was about baseball, or we did... I did Joe and Max, which was about boxing. It's smart to know the history of the characters, you know, because they're true life, you know, the real people. So it's important if you're going in for that kind of audition. But it's also, you know, you have to seduce the people in the room. And I don't mean that in a sexual way. I mean that I am so talented that you want me,
yeah.
and I'm not sure if I want you.
Yeah.
And that's the whole mentality going into the room.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that confidence comes with training, it comes with preparation, it comes with looking good, feeling good. Every day you should be doing something for your craft. If it's going to the gym, working out, if it's reading a book about acting, whatever it is, it's not something that you can do part-time. This is not a part-time craft.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be successful if you think you're going to do this part-time.
Right.
It's a full-time job every single day. So the confidence level is so important in your audition. If you come in, you could be the best actor in the world and you don't have any confidence, we can pick up on it 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So the pet peeve is A, read your script, B, prepared.
Mm-hmm.
That is not brain surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd be surprised how many people are not off book. You know, the words don't need to be your enemy. They need to be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be able to guide you through the process and to be able to give you clues on the character.
Mm.
So once you're done memorizing the words, then the work really begins.
Right.
And that's where people get a little confused. Actors get a little confused. They think by memorizing that they are done preparing. And that's not the case.
No. You got to know the backstory. You got to have a backstory, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. Now, what are some... Did you ask this Christina DeRosa? I love her name. I call her full name at all times.
I do the same thing to you, Priscilla
I know,
Leona.
Priscilla Leona. What did you ask this? Because I wanted to ask her, what are some of the common misconceptions that actors have about casting directors or auditions in general?
I have not asked it yet.
Okay. Because a lot of actors say, oh, she didn't like me. I could tell. Or he didn't like me. Or... I went to shake his hand and he wouldn't shake his hand. Well, of course he doesn't want to shake your damn hand. We don't know where your hand's been. But they think that the damn casting directors are out to get them. Tell them you want them to do a good job because then you can cast it, move on to another part.
That's exactly right. I mean, we want you guys to win. I mean, it. You know, we don't want to sit in a room and spend all day in a room and not be able to cast this role.
Right.
So we want to be able to cast it. I mean, so we want to do everything so that you get that job.
Right. They are your friend. They are not against you. You're too paranoid. Right?
Yeah.
And you know, I understand. It's a nervous situation because, oh my God, I so suck at auditions. Just give me the part and I'll rock it. But I cannot do the audition. I went on an audition for True Blood. There was 12 people in the room. Why did there need to be 12 people in the room? I never understood that.
The bigger the show. The bigger the show.
Woo! And I understand that. But, I forgot what the hell I was talking about now, Valerie McCaffrey. Let's move on to the next question. Do you have a question for Valerie?
Sure. I would say if you can wave a magic wand and change one thing about the business, you've been in the business a long time now, what would it be?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Thank you.
One thing about the business that I would change. I would change some of the writing that happens, and that we make it more real, more ethnics are being able to have to be able to support themselves, the Asian American, the Middle Easterns, to be able to support themselves. Now it's changing little by little, but not enough that people can sustain a career. And that's one thing I would change. The writing needs to be looked at, and the characters need to be looked at a little bit closer before we, start casting.
And you need to add more parts for big, fluffy people.
Yes, and
some damn curves, you people. What is going on?
Yes.
You know what? It's because all the damn writers are skinny. I've just figured it out. They're malnutrition, and they're only writing for other skinny people. So write for some big people parts.
Yes, that's, just across the board. You know, in every aspect of it. I think that's what one thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're...
As a producer, you're working on that? Or as a producer, is that something that you can work on?
As a producer, I do. And as a casting director, I do. I try to, as a casting director, on What the Bleep Do You Know, I cast Marley Matlin, who's deaf.
Mm-hmm.
So that was not in the script. So I try any which way I can. And
I love that you just said that real quick. A lot of people go in for parts and you think, God, I'm not right for that role, or they don't know. When you go in for a role, they can have one idea of what the character is like based on the writer or director or producer, but then you can come in and you can do something special and you can make it sizzle and you can really add something to that character, and then all of a sudden they go, oh my God, I didn't see the character like that. This is what I want. And it's because you created the character. Am I right?
That is absolutely correct.
I think I need to be taking over Valerie's job. I know a little something. Now, what I want to talk about real quick is, one of my pet peeves, Photoshop! Valerie, okay, so I was casting this little project a couple weeks ago, and God bless her, there was a lady. Now, we knew from the photograph that it was a little dated, but I don't care. As I said, you know, I do my black and white, so what do I care? So I thought, well, we're going to bring her in because she had some good training. We brought her in, and God bless her, she was looking like Lola from the Copacabana, and I said, she was at least 20 years older than the actual shot. Let's talk about how you really need to keep your headshots current. How important is that to you? Does that or does that not irritate you when you have someone come in and they don't look anything like the picture because they're all photoshopped up?
Yes, sir. They're old pictures. You know, it wastes my time. And, I don't really like that because you've taken another slot that another actor could have gone in. You know, our job is to do our work and cast the movie. And can't do it if all the people that I'm bringing in don't look like their pictures.
I know a little wart removal here and a mole removal there. But if it's really big and it's going to stand out, then just leave it in the picture. I mean, you are who you are, and they are going to call you in based on what the picture is.
Yeah,
right?
But also, you know, make sure your pictures are not done by your friend, you know, the neighbor next door, that they're actually, you know, true professionals that know how to take headshots. Again, this is another way that actors end up wasting money, time, energy, mm-hmm. because, you know, time is money.
Yeah.
And so even though you got those headshots for free, your time is being wasted because now those headshots are not working for you. And, you know, you're just going down the wrong path.
So true. No. And I was told you only have about 4 seconds when you're looking at that little screen thumbnail on breakdowns. Maybe you can talk about that when you're looking on the computer. It's so many pictures, 3,000 pictures for one role. How do you pick that one picture? How does it jump off to you?
Well, that's an interesting thing because you have to be, when you're taking photos, one of the tricks is to wear bright colors. You don't want to wear things that mute into the background mm-hmm. So that it catches your eye, you know, like a cop looking at a red car speeding, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but red and deep greens and stuff like that will
jewel
come
off. Tones, people, jewel tones. Okay, we only got a couple minutes and I got to get to these email questions or else they will be sending some hate mail. Okay, we've got Lola Carter from Manhattan, New York, and she said, "Dear Valerie, when a casting director asks, what have you been up to lately? And I haven't booked anything or been called into auditions for a while. What do you say? I don't want them to think I'm not a hot commodity."
Oh, that's a very good question. And that's a very common question. I would make something up.
Okay, that's good. I like
no,
it.
I mean, you know, I think...
You've been studying. I've been working on my craft, like we said earlier, right?
You know, you can say I've been writing a script in which I'm going to be in. I'm in a webisode. I'm writing. I'm still I'm auditioning for, you know, let's say I went out for theater. I think it's just very positive thinking.
Yeah.
Very positive and make yourself seem very, very busy.
And you should be. You shouldn't have to make it seem you should be busy.
Yeah, that's true.
Get out there and hop around. Okay, I got these two now. Oh, my God. Now, Tony, you know you write these just whack questions, but I ask him anyway. He always does this. Okay, so he always emails me. Tony Bianacchi from Staten Island, New York. "Hey, Val, so here's what happens a lot. Hoping you can help me out. I meet with these casting people, and I know I nailed the audition. We chat it up. I get really positive vibes from them, and they say someone will call me. I'm even sure a couple of them wanted to wink and mouth call me as I leave. So I wait by the phone, and I wait and wait, but they never call. What's the deal?"
Oh, my God. Well, he seems like, you know, Tony is his name?
Tony. Bianacchi.
Tony. I bet you, you know.
From Staten Island,
yeah.
Man.
I can imagine. You probably entertain them quite well in the room. But, Tony, listen, you know, are you not represented, that you're not getting feedback on your auditions? And if you're not represented, maybe you should get representation. Mm-hmm. If you're getting in the room yourself, then you should be able to get in, you know, have your representatives check and double check on what's going on in the room and why you're not getting the callback.
Yeah, and Tony, if you think they're winking and they're mouthing, call me. You might want to look into that as a possible reason. All right, last one. Sarah McKenzie from Torrance, California. Val, I am 18. Oh, she's 18. Okay, so I'm 18 years old, and I just got the nerve up to start going out on auditions. I get really nervous when meeting casting directors. Oh, this is a long ass one. Okay. And just important people in general. I usually sweat, feel awkward every time I audition, and am always sure that it was the worst audition that's ever been. Oh, last week I called the casting director Joan, and her name was Allison. I had practiced her name for 5 minutes, as I do this quite often. I said Stewie from Family Guy was my favorite actor, and I knocked her Starbucks coffee off the desk with my purse. Oh, Lord. I don't know what the hell. Okay. I don't know what is wrong with me, but from a casting director perspective, is that it? I don't know what that means. Will you always remember me as a klutz or an airhead forever and never call me back? And how can I redeem myself? Oh, Lord.
Oh, well, you know, I think it comes back from... I think I'll always remember her. And I, you know, I'm actually kind of klutzy myself. So I don't ever look down at people like that. But what I would suggest... what's her name? Sarah?
Sarah McKenzie from Torrance.
You need to get into some acting classes and be with peers your own age, and then be able to feel comfortable. You know, you seem like you're uncomfortable with yourself, more importantly, rather than the casting director.
Yeah.
So start getting that confidence that I talked about, and really, I think that'll solve your problem.
Yeah, and I mean, you're 18. You're just starting out. Oh, my God, it gets worse. So be prepared.
So many great acting classes.
Yeah.
So many branding classes. Sam Christensen, Dallas Travers, Leslie Kahn, Ivana Jubic. So many studios you can be studying at. So.
Absolutely. Improv, I'm just wondering if the casting director, Allison, was Allison Jones.
Because
that's the only Allison I know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But hopefully it wasn't. But email me.
Probably email me. Would be really good.
And let me know. Okay, so guess what? Oh, my God. Valerie McCaffrey has to go because it is time. Actually, we're 3 minutes over, and I'm not paying for any more time, so we have to go. But we want to thank you. Any last things that you want to say to Valerie?
Oh, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
You're
great energy.
Oh, we want to get project. What are you working on? Anything exciting? I know you got I was looking on the IMDb. You got 12 things going on.
Oh yeah.
All the way into 2014.
I'm casting Streets of Southie, which is going to be shooting in Boston.
Okay.
Killing Buddha, which is the producer from What the Bleep Do You Know? She's directing. She's directing this with Heather Graham.
Oh.
You know, we have, a beautiful one. I'm working on Call to Duty. I have
a friend of mine, Anthony, said you just cast something that his friend Oral was in, Area 51.
Oh, Area 51.
Yeah.
Yes. That's Oren Peli.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's
yes.
He's the director of Paranormal Activity, the original, the first Paranormal Activity. This is his second film.
Oh, okay, because when, you know, I posted it on Facebook, he said, oh, hey, Priscilla, my friend, Oren
Peli,
my friend, she worked with him on Area 51, so there you go. All right, well, thank you so much, Valerie.
You're welcome.
Will you come back next year?
Of course, I will.
Okay, so Tony... work on your stuff, and then Valerie's coming back, and then she'll have more advice for you.
And Sarah can take improv classes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Woo! Woo! Thank you so much, Christina DeRosa.
Thank you.
Check her out at ChristinaDeRosa.com. She is hot, so men, get your Vaseline ready before you go on the website, just saying. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great new year. Happy New Year. And we'll see you next week on Question Reality. We've got a hot teenage chick coming on next Sunday, so
Woo-hoo!
Tune in. Okay, thank you. Bye. Say bye, Valerie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Ciao.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.